Hello, welcome to our broadcast. I want to thank you for joining me for this broadcast of Under the Radar. I'm Mark Rumfellow, and I pastor Grace Believers Bible Church. And our church is responsible for putting this broadcast on the air so that you can come to us weekly and enjoy the preaching and teaching out of the Word of God. It may be a little bit of a foreign thing to some of you that are watching regarding studying the Bible. You know, it was for me most of my life. I wouldn't pick up a Bible. I wouldn't have anything to do with the Word of God. I thought it was a book that only certain elevated religious leaders could read and preach from. And so I shied away from it. Until 1980, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I was saved at that point in time. Began in a Bible church that taught the Word of God. Our pastor at the time, Brother Obed Kirkpatrick, taught the Word of God, rightly divided. And so when I got into the Bible and the teachings of it, I got in on the sure foundation that's laid by the Apostle Paul and was built up in him in the teaching of the Word of God. And so my goal today is to fulfill the will of God as it's stated in 1 Timothy chapter 2, is that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so consequently, our messages are teaching messages. They're straight out to you preaching messages. We don't have sidebar entertainment like some of the other broadcasts. So if you're really interested in knowing what this book has to say, if you're curious about it, you've come to the right place. If you've learned some things and would like to further your understanding in God's Word, you've come to the right place also. So stay tuned and join us each week as we go through the Word of God rightly divided. Now, there's something I want to speak to you about today concerning our faith, the end result of our faith, you might say, and that is spiritual blessings. I get this from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 1, 3. And I would encourage you to get a King James Bible. Our particular church takes the stance that the King James Bible is the inspired Word of God. We don't believe in the altered versions of the King James Bible. We believe that God had the ability to write a book. And he did, and it's a King James Bible. So join me with that, and if you don't have your Bible with you, if you have a piece of paper and a pencil, you can write down the scripture references and make notes as we go, and then on your own time, review those and go back over them to reinforce your understanding in what we covered. So once again, I want to talk to you about spiritual blessings. And I take this from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, as the Apostle Paul writes to these Ephesians. He says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so we see there the presentation of being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. And, you know, it really would set me off on doing this particular topic was the fact that today so many people are taught that God is very interested in your well-being on this earth as far as you having abundant supply. I find that the people that sort of buy into that thought process are those that are struggling in this life with various issues, and so they desperately want something that is going to quench that hurt, that pain, that lack thereof. And so they go into the churches where the preacher promises that if you send him, you know, $1,000, that's your faith going forth, that God is going to honor that and make it tenfold or whatever fold they use to come back at you. And I'm thinking, you know what? That is no different than what casinos offer. If you're interested in going to a casino and dropping hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars in the casino, they offer you an opportunity to get a refund on that, a reward, a winning. Well, that's basically what's being presented today. That if you present me with so much money, God's going to bless you. Well, I can't go through the Bible and read that. I can't read. If I am a student of the Bible, if I rightly divide the word of truth, if I rightly divide it, I can't find where that promise is made to me today. I can find where God did things for men through the Bible. He multiplied Abraham's possessions. Abraham had great wealth. But I'm not Abraham and neither are you. So let's let Abraham be Abraham and what happened in his life happen in his life. That doesn't mean because it happened to Abraham that God's going to honor you as if you were Abraham. I see where God made promises to the nation Israel that He would prosper their land. He would prosper their houses, their family, their crops, their sheep, their cattle. He would multiply them. He would have the grasses grow. He would have their gardens to grow like the Garden of Eden. But He didn't promise that to us. You see, when you rightly divide the word of truth, you go in there and get those things that God has promised you today for us. Because there are plenty of promises in your Bible that don't apply to us. So rightly dividing the word of truth, what we do see is that God has blessed us. And Paul says, He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So our blessings are there. And they are spiritual, and they are in Christ. They're not on this earth. So what exactly would be the spiritual blessings? Well, there's a multitude of them, and obviously, with time frame that we have today, the limited time frame, we obviously can't cover them all. So I want to just talk to you about spiritual blessings. Since we've been blessed with them by faith in Christ, I think it would be good to understand them so we can rejoice, have joy, have peace, have excitement in our lives over our faith in Jesus Christ. And realize that when our bank accounts get low, it can't get so low that we don't have spiritual blessings. That if we don't get the job that we wanted to get, it can't get so bad that we don't have spiritual blessings. You see, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings regardless of the worldly circumstance that we are in today. The poorest of poor that ever trusted in Jesus Christ have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, meaning they are rich in Christ Jesus. We are rich in Christ Jesus. Doesn't mean my bank account exploded with unforeseen dollars. Doesn't mean that gold appeared on my doorstep the next morning. Doesn't mean I'm driving the top of the line Mercedes Benz. But I am rich in Christ Jesus, and you are too if you're in Christ Jesus, because all of God's spiritual blessings are in Christ and given unto you when you trust Jesus Christ. So then, what are they? I think it'd be very incumbent upon us to look at some so we can understand what spiritual blessings have we been blessed with. I'd like to cover one this morning because there is a lot of confusion that is out there that hinders your understanding of the spiritual blessings, and I'll point that out. In Romans chapter 8, Paul is addressing the Romans here, obviously. And he's covering a particular topic, which, by the way, is going to be a spiritual blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, we'll start in verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, and for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, that's some beautiful verses there, particularly the first verse that we read. That's Romans 8:28, and it says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." So we see that, like, for instance, the Apostle Paul, who took on all the beatings, all the punishment, all the imprisonments, all of the stoning that came upon him, the betrayals when he was hungered and he had nothing to eat, all those things that this man went through, the persecutions that he endured, everything worked out for good in this man's life. He never turned against God. He never threw up his hands and said, "This isn't worth it." Why? Because he believed the Word of God. He believed Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He knew that all those things that were said against him would work together for good, and that there would be no problems that would come upon him that he couldn't accomplish or get over by God's grace. So we see that truth. Then he says in verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." So we see this word here in verse 29. I'll read it again. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." Now that word predestinate just gets blown out of the water by so many people, in that they don't fully understand the context of what's being written there. For instance, there are those that believe that the predestination means that God has chosen today who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell. That's a Calvinistic position. There are probably others out there that hold to that truth too, or that lie rather, and abort the truth. But the fact of the matter is, God, in his predestination, did not just pick and choose people on who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell. Matter of fact, I have on the board here a little diagram, I guess you could say, of time. And we want to go to that real quick. For instance, the X here represents the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He carried it out to the cross. And in that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you want to know what Christ's ministry was to Israel and the 12, you'd have to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not to you, by the way. That's to the nation Israel. He was crucified, buried, and God raised him up the third day. Now, over here in these parentheses is the time we're living in today. It's called the dispensation of the grace of God. It is sanctified. It is set out from the other times that are in your Bible. And during this time, the man Paul the Apostle, is overseeing this dispensation. For he says, "A dispensation hath been committed unto me." And in this dispensation, he's been given a gospel, good news. What is the good news? Well, that good news is Jesus Christ loved us. He died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised again the third day. That's our good news, in that anybody, anywhere, anytime can put their trust in that fact that Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day, and your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven, and you have eternal life, which is a gift of God given unto you. That is a beautiful message for today. That is the only valid message from God today, in that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and raised again the third day. So, God foreknew that he would deliver up his Son. He spared not his Son for us, but delivered him up. And so Christ willingly went to the cross to die for our sins. He was crucified on that cross. He died, was buried, but God wrought out the exceeding greatness of his power in and through the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. and raised Christ up and set him at his own right hand far above all heaven. So Jesus Christ right now is alive and he's seated at the right hand of God. And so consequently, that cross and the payment made there is good for all that live within the parameter here of the dispensation of the grace of God. So, anybody today that trusts in Jesus Christ, as I said at the start of the program, where he knew he could have a payment for all of our sins. And if there was a sin you could commit where the cross wasn't sufficient, then the cross is not sufficient for any sins. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the sin. You see, religion wants to focus in on your sins. And that way they can keep you in bondage. You never can say, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I have eternal life, I'll know where I go when I die. You can't say that in a religion. It's always, well, you hope so, you think so, maybe so, might so, I'm trying, I'm putting my best effort. What would Jesus do? You put all that together, and at the end of the day, you don't know. In 1980, I came to a realization that I needed to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I did. And from 1980 until this day in 2012, I know that I have eternal life. The day my heart stops beating, the day I die, I know where I'm going. I'm not hoping. I'm not praying about it. I'm not giving you my best guess. I'm not trying to get there. I know I am gone by the faith of Jesus Christ. And so God saw that I would trust Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And because he could look into the future and see that if he provided me the gospel and I believed, then he could have me back to himself. And so, he provided the gospel, and that's exactly what happened. My own free will was to choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I did in 1980. And so, with that said, God has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. He didn't choose us in the sense of we have no choice in this thing. Like God went and picked you out and put you here, you're going to heaven. Put you here, you're going to hell. Put you here, you're going to heaven. Put you here, you're going to hell. Where you have no determination about it whatsoever. God provided a message. He provided good news to mankind. Why? Because we were all sinners. And the wages of sin is death. And so consequently, man being presented with the gospel has the obligation to trust in Jesus Christ. What I'm telling you is if you watching this broadcast and have never trusted in Jesus Christ, you need to do so right now as the tape rolls, so to speak. And you need to trust Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you? I'm not asking you for money. You send me money and God will forgive you. You send me your money and God will bless you. I'm not asking for nothing. You don't have to give nothing, do nothing, get up, go anywhere, say anything. Just within your heart, believe that Christ died for all your sins. And in so doing, God will put that death of Jesus Christ to your account in that Christ died for our sins. And so the payment for your sins has been made in the person of Jesus Christ. And so God foresaw who would trust in Jesus Christ before it was ever created, before the world was ever created. I'm going to show you that right now. Look in your Bible, and I surely hope you have a Bible handy because it helps out so much more to have it and read along and look at it.